You cannot fight your own obsessions. It's a losing battle. You just have to go with them and hopefully share them, which is what happened to you, Antonio. After all, what would your life have been like had you never met Marieta? With whom would you have started to collect remnants of beauty, glimpses of visions? You were a young engineer from Novara who survived the Great War on an airship crew and then 2 years in Budapest on the railroad, a technician of the pure variety, in an era in which technique did not exclude an artistic bent. You loved music, played the violin, and had an interest in art, as was the prerogative of the engineers of Noster Polytechnic, as your contemporary, the engineer and artist Carlo Emilio Gadda, fondly called the school. You wanted to embark on a military calling, like your father. Then, on vacation in Valsesia, you met Marieta. The same passions, the same worldview. Yours was the love of a lifetime, shared to the very last day. Marieta had inherited a passion for art from her father, Francesco, another concrete man, a constructor of buildings, but also a collector of precious objects and works by the Novecento Group, a movement encouraged in those years by Margherita Sarfatti. A man of business and taste, he was building a new development in the neighborhood of Corso Buenos Aires, thus christened a few years earlier by the mayor during the Universal Exposition of 1906. Houses for the entrepreneurial class, the new Milan bourgeoisie that couldn't find room inside the bastions, occupied by the old aristocracy that lived off its legacy of status. Quality apartment houses to put on the market, because as the French say, when real estate moves, the economy moves. While he was at it, Francesco also made an entire building for his family on Via Jan. 5 children, 5 floors, an apartment for each. He called in Piero Portaluppi, the cult architect in those years for the cream of Milanese society, to design it. You got married in 1927. You lived your whole lives on the second floor of that elegant and rather eccentric building, with that corner bow window that hinges the masonry enclosure clad in precious marble. You, Marieta, loved ceramics. You had taken lessons in the studio of Luigi Amigoni. It was your obsession. It was useless to resist, so you just went with it. You would have liked to open a school, to have a kiln, as you told the daughter of Amigoni, Migno, your friend since the 30s. Also because places for firing clay were a true rarity in Milan. One had to go down to the Conchetta, on the Naviglio Pavese, to Curti, which had moved there from Ripa di Porta Ticinese during the previous century. Before that, the firm was at the Columns of San Lorenzo, a historic kiln. Milanese artisans for half a millennium, who made bricks, tiles and friezes seen all over, from Cagranda all the way to the Certosa of Pavia. You bought artworks, paintings, decorative objects, drawings, sculptures, your obsession. It was often a way to help out struggling young artists, but you were not motivated by the mirage of future gains. You weren't looking to make a profit. You bought, but you never sold. Once, Marieta, you were in Paris, on your own, and you wanted to buy a fur coat. You came back home instead with an enormous dequirico rolled up around a pole, purchased from the Rosenberg collection. You bought continuously. Your nephew, Marieta, who lived and still lives downstairs, Alessandro Mendini, maybe it is true that living surrounded by art can make you become an artist, almost unintentionally, remembers, with an affectionate smile, your constant hammering on the walls. Every evening I heard their hammer beating on the walls to put up nails to hang new paintings or to move them. An obsession. Works everywhere. So many that over the years you were running out of wall space. You hung paintings on doors, on shutters, everywhere. Whole collections of original drawings stuffed under the double bed. During World War II, moving the collection to Bedizzole on Lake Garda for fear of bombings was a titanic undertaking. as was the return trip, hanging the paintings again, making space for new acquisitions. You were in the Rotary Club, Antonio. You had a box at La Scala, as was customary. You met friends along the streets of the city. But your treasure chest of wonders was the preferred place to encounter guests and artists at your monthly dinners. Over 2,000 artworks were packed into your home, so many that you could make a museum. And that, effectively, is just what happened. With your first donation, Antonio, in 1974, the city of Milan was able to open, with great ceremony, the Civic Museum of Contemporary Art, the most solid, precious nucleus of what is now known as the Museo del Novecento, whose organization was completed in 2010 by Italo Rota at the Arengario, a building designed, among others, by Piero Portaluppi, of course. Yours was an obsession, it's true, but it wasn't blind. You didn't accumulate things at random. You had a clear idea about what to collect. Artists like Sironi, Martini, Savinio, Fontana passed through your rooms because you loved their work, often when they were still not known to most people. An obsession is an obsession, not a game. You were a concrete person, Antonio. You worked at Pirelli for years. You were a very refined technician. You went to the Bicocca zone every day, to that city on the outskirts of the city, made of factories, smokestacks, fumes and sweat, effort and innovation. Almost nothing remains of that industrial history today. Houses, residences, an enormous theatre, a shopping centre. And the university, the new factory of knowledge and skills. Right at the entrance to this new district, they've named a little street after you, Via Boschi di Stefano, as is in the nature of Milan, which continuously changes, remaining only in the memory of its place names. You were the creator of many important patents. The most famous, the Giubbo, Giunto Boschi, of course, is a shaft coupling that is still produced and sold today all over the world. Practically every automobile or boat motor has one. So with your technical scientific culture, that of Noster Polytechnic, you are able to have sufficient funds to indulge in your obsession. To give form to things, hands are needed, Marieda. You knew that. You never stopped working with clay, shaping it, firing it. You never stopped being a ceramist, your obsession. In the end, you did it. In 1962, you opened a school with a kiln. No more perilous trips to Curti, in the canal zone. The school was there, on the ground floor of the building constructed by your father, where you lived. Home, workshop, school. The dream of a lifetime came true. You passed away a few years later, in 1968. The school continues to exist, in your honour, named for you, thanks to the devotion of your lifelong friend, Mino, the daughter of your mentor from over half a century ago. It was hard for you, Antonio, to go on, to survive without Marieda. You had no children, just cats, 9 of them, roaming around the house. You plunged even deeper into your obsession. There was a project that had to be completed, to narrate a life through art, to narrate the conditions of a fully modern society with the loftiest, most experimental works, to grant dignity to a troubled century that had known dizzying hates and great falls. You were a man of the modern age. You did not live cut off from the world, but you knew that the Enlightenment myth of technology, after the abyss of World War II, was crumbling. In art, you sought the philosophical response to the loss of rational certainties. Chaos had ruled the world. The city was losing its form, taking on a new magmatic shape. There was a need to see through art, as through a breach, to understand what could be perceived beyond the veil of the real. This is why you loved the Italian artists, your fellow travelling companions, the only ones you had gathered in substance. This is why you loved the informale, the superior, sublime form of the world. This is why you loved Fontana and his fissures. To do so, you needed nails and walls, and you needed Nando, a worker from Pirelli you were fond of, to help you put the works in order. Remove, place, drive nails, hang paintings. He often cooked up a big pot of pasta and put it in the refrigerator, and then you would heat it up for dinner or lunch. Eating was a necessity, not a pleasure. You had other things on your mind. We started collecting to help the poor artists, you told a friend. Now all this beauty, this material philosophy, could not remain there, sterile, to satisfy the obsession of just one person. In the end, the collection wasn't even yours. You had started it together, you and Marieda. A shared work in the total sense, you said one day, remembering your wife. In the material sense, with the implications of decisions, of dedication, of financial sacrifices, and subsequent renunciations in other areas. And in the artistic sense, as conversion of tastes, orientations, choices. The project was finished. The story of the life of a couple in perfect symbiosis, told not with words, but with artworks, had come to an end. Now it was time to share it with others. This long path of two kindred souls then met by chance in Valsesia, never again to part. It was time to abandon your obsession and transform it into a gift for the city. That was in 1988.